Genesis chapter 17. Our text will be verse 1 through 4. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. What we basically have in this 17th chapter is God's renewing of his covenant with Abraham. Seems like we've seen that two or three times before. God is renewing, God is refreshing, God is reminding. In his journey with God, God is bringing Abraham up to this proper place where things stood in regards to his promises and his covenant with him. The key to understanding this 17th chapter is in that word covenant. Covenant. You can't go too far in trying to understand the meaning of that word covenant. It's found 13 times in this 17th chapter. Out of 27 verses, there's a reference to the covenant that God had with Abraham mentioned 17 times. The word covenant means a contract, an agreement. It actually carries the meaning of a cutting. Which certainly is represented in chapter 15, I think it is, where God had Abraham slay those animals and divide those animals' carcasses up, and then God walked between them. That would show us that that was not only a sign of God's covenant with him, but it was a covenant itself, the cutting of those animals. In this 17th chapter, we come to the circumcision of Abraham and all of his descendants. And in the circumcision, you find that definition of a cutting. So we need to understand that God is speaking to Abraham. And I can finally call him Abraham without misapplying what Scripture says, because this is where God changes his name officially to Abraham. So now I can stop trying to jump around between Abram and Abraham. Another key word in this passage of Scripture, or key, is God speaking those words, I will. The covenant's not about what Abraham's going to do. The covenant's about what God's going to do. And God reminds him of this covenant in chapter 17 to remind him that he relied upon him. God is the one that's going to do these things. God is the one who has given his promise to Abraham. God is the one who has sworn to keep those promises. You find that thought of I will seven times in this chapter. Eight, if you count in verse number 8, where God, instead of saying I will, he says will I. So there's eight times in this chapter that God speaks about what he was going to do and how reliant Abraham was to be upon him. That's really important because Abraham's how old now? Verse number 1. How old did God tell us in his word Abraham was at this time? Verse 1 tells us Abraham was 90 years and 9. 99 years old. He needs reminded. He needs to have it reaffirmed within him that God was the one that he has this covenant with. And God was the one that was going to do this. And without getting too far on a side, as we believers go through this journey of life and the years come and go, and many years come and go, I think we need to be reminded that this covenant we have with God, this promise of eternal life and his providing all that we need, relies upon God, not us. Not upon us. Remind yourself this morning, however long you've been saved, that it depends upon him to keep you. It depends upon him to guide you, to deliver you, to use you, to receive you back into his presence. And as I said, another key to this 17th chapter is the circumcision of the flesh that God places upon Abraham and all of his descendants. So far in our study of Abram and God's covenant with him and God's promise to him, it's all been on God's side. As he says in this chapter, I will. When those animals were slain in chapter 15, Abraham didn't pass between those pieces like was the norm. Only God is seen as passing through those because it was all about what God was doing, what God was going to do. But when we come to this 17th chapter and we find God instituting the circumcision, now God calls upon Abraham to do something. Circumcision was to be a sign of God's covenant with man, an outward sign. As we have seen over and over again in Genesis and over again in God's calling to Abraham. God calls Abraham to come away from the world, to leave his home and his family and to come into the land. And God says, I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give it all to you. He calls Abraham to separation. And here in this 17th chapter, he reaffirms that Abraham's calling involved separation because God gave Abraham this external outward manifestation, this external outward sign that his covenant was with him. They were going to physically, externally stand out amongst the people of the world. This covenant was given as a sign of, or this circumcision was given as a sign of God's covenant to him. And it tells us in verse number 1 that Abram was 90 years old and 9. And when he was 90 years old and 9, the Lord or Jehovah appeared unto Abram. God has talked with Abram. God has talked with Abraham many times. But there's only a few times where it specifically tells us God appeared. God appeared to Abram. I think there was three prior times to verse 1 of chapter 17 that it specifically tells us God appeared. That would be a theophany. That would be God appearing in the form of a flesh. And I am not sure that that appearing of God before Abraham and other places where we see that theophany, God appearing in the flesh, if it wasn't indeed still at Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. So it may very well be that when God appears to Abraham here, when he's 99 years old, it may very well have been a Christophany, as we would define it, as opposed to a theophany. But the Lord appeared to Abram, and God said unto him, God appeared and God spoke, I am the Almighty God. I am God Almighty. Again, why is this important? Again, why is God reconfirming, reestablishing, renewing his covenant with Abram? Because he's 99 years of old, and more than ever before, Abraham needed to see him as not just God, but God Almighty. God Almighty. There's a song used to be real popular years ago that's actually based from this passage of Scripture, where it talks about Almighty God or God Almighty, God being the name for God, El, Almighty giving us the word Shaddai. Used to be a song real popular, El Shaddai. And I've been revisiting that song, and I guess I never picked up on how central it is to this portion of Scripture that we're in now. That song speaks about the blood and the ram that saved the son of Abraham. Talks about by God's mighty hand, he changed the sea into dry land. One part of that song says, to the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. What does that sound like where we've just recently been? Sounds like Hagar. She was on her knees. She was desperate, as we saw in the previous chapter. She was cast out. And she called upon the God who sees. Who really sees. She was up on her knees and an outcast, but she saw the God and saw God as the one who really sees. That's such a blessing. God really sees us. God really sees all the details of our life. God sees what we're going through. God sees what we stand in need of. And God is there to meet our needs. He's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. He's the Lord Almighty. God Almighty. And Abraham is 99 years of age, and God appears before him in a fleshly form. speaks to him, says, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. And at no time during his life did Abraham need to know that more than right now. He says, I am the Almighty God. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me. I think we read this passage of Scripture many, many weeks ago, months maybe now, where God called Noah to walk with him, to walk before him, and a couple other places where God called men to walk with him. And here, when he's 99 years of age, God appears to Abram, says, I am Almighty God. Now you walk before me. Walk before me. Walk blamelessly before me. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Psalm 66. Don't lose your place there. We're coming right back. Psalm 66. Verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The psalmist speaks of his walking before God and his calling upon God and his being heard of God. But the psalmist also mentions that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. Now connect that with that thought in verse number 1. God Almighty appeared before Abram and told him he was God Almighty. I want you to walk before me. I want you to walk before me in a perfect way with a perfect heart. But if you regard iniquity in your heart, you regard iniquity in your life, the Word of God also says he will not hear us. So God is calling Abraham to walk before him perfectly, to walk before him blamelessly. Walk before me and I will see and I will hear and I will know. But you regard sin in your life and I'll not hear. We just can't grasp. Maybe it's just a part of the human condition. We just can't grasp the seriousness of sin. The serious effect sin has upon our lives. I am the Almighty God. He appeared to Abram, saying, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he told us in the Psalms and in many other places, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the effect of sin in our hearts, the effect of sin in our life is God will not hear us. Why? Because if we regard iniquity in our hearts and God will not hear us, then we're not walking with him, are we? Two that walk together must be agreed, Amos 3:3 says. To walk together, two must be agreed. And Abraham and God had to be in agreement. And God says, I am the Almighty God. I am all that you need. And this is going to get done by me and my power. But I want you to walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So he renews. First of all, it's about people. Then second of all, it's about land. I think all of God's speaking of the covenant spoke first of all of what God was going to do regarding Abraham's seed, and then what God was going to do regarding the land. And that's what he mentions here in verse number 2 in that order. I will make my covenant with me and thee, and will multiply thee, thy seed, exceedingly. As we've seen previous, in chapter 15 again, I think is my thought. It was first his seed, then it was the land that God was going to give him. It's interesting just to kind of jump ahead and things I've got circled in my Bible and lines drawn to them to emphasize things to me. God says in verse number 2, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. I will make of thee many people. But there's a little bit of a tweak, a little bit of a difference in verse number 4, where God says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. You got to do the math with that. You got one man, and God says, from thee I'm going to make many seed. In verse number 4, God says, I'm going to take Abraham, and I'm going to make Abraham many nations. See, nations are many people. So God is saying to Abraham, not only am I going to make your seed many, but I'm going to make from your seed many nations. And in fact, he says in this chapter, he will bring forth many kings. And that just multiplies many times over how many descendants Abraham is going to have. Not just him having children and children having children, but he's going to bring nations out of Abraham, and those nations being many are going to be multiplying over and over again. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, Abraham got where he needed to be, on his face, on his face. So much of Christianity, so much of religion in the day and time in which we live, has God as the big man upstairs, the good guy, the one who we think is at our beck and call. But here, Abraham has God appear to him, saying, I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, be perfect, and I will make my covenant with you, I will make of you many nations and kings and kingdoms. And Abraham falls on his face. I don't know for what purpose this thought comes to my mind, but I'm going to throw it out there. Lord, use it however he decides or chooses. When was the last time you were on your face before God? When was the last time you really saw God the way Abram saw God here in this 17th chapter? And it drove you to your face before God. I don't think it'd harm us a bit to have that kind of perspective of God. I'll not belabor the point, but over and over again, the Bible tells us it's a good thing to fear God. The world says, oh, he's the good guy. He's the big man upstairs. Nothing to be afraid of. God doesn't want us to be afraid. God is God, and God is great, and God would have us to fear him and to reverence him. And every now and then, fall upon our face before him in our prayers. There's been many times in my ministry when I just had to go over to the church building and just lay down on my face in the sanctuary before the pulpit and just pray, needing something from God so desperately. I've experienced that here. Face down, lying upon the floor of the sanctuary, just praying for help. Abram fell upon his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. You have the Jewish people, the Arab people, those who came through Isaac, and those who came through Ishmael. And you find, if you pay attention, God promised he would not only make many people out of Abram, but nations, plural. And sometimes in the context of those references, you come to realize that it wasn't just those two, but many nations came by way of the seed of Abram. My covenant is with thee, and thou should be a father of many nations. Out of all the peoples, out of all the nations and all the kingdoms and all the kings that came through Abram's seed, there is a specific reference here to Christ. Specific reference here when God says, behold, my covenant is with thee. You're going to bring forth many people, many nations, but my covenant is with thee. And you find that relates to us, Isaac, the promised son, which brought forth Jacob, which brought forth the 12 tribes in Egypt that came forth a nation of 1.5 million people, at least, they say. And we'll get into this, I think, before we get out of this passage of Scripture. I know we will. But God promised Abraham that through his line he would make many nations. But he made a covenant with Abraham specifically about his blessed son, Isaac, Jacob, the people of Israel, bringing us to the Messiah, the coming one, Christ. Jesus Christ being the ultimate fulfilling of that. And what we don't even begin to understand or appreciate is the fact I heard a guy on the television. I think it was that Les Feldick, the older guy. He's been dead now several years. But I was listening to him teach, reruns of his teaching. And he spoke about God having an eternal and everlasting covenant with Israel. When was the last time you thought about that? But he does. See, we're living in a day and time where people think God's done with Israel. God's thrown them away. Let's forget about Israel. Let's not talk about the Jews. You know, they're yesterday's news, but they're not yesterday's news. God has promised through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, would be a special people unto him throughout eternity. So we look for the coming of Jesus Christ, and we look for the kingdom time and the eternal kingdom being ushered in. And what do we find? We find Israel restored unto God, regenerated, born again. We see them restored to the land that God promised them way back here in Genesis. And you have eternity being ushered in, and it being shown to us that God has an eternal covenant with the Jewish people. That'll get some people mad at you. And that's what the Bible says. We don't pick up on these little things like we should. So this is the opening of chapter 17. And it's interesting if you'll notice verse 16 of chapter 16. Chapter 16 ends with these words. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Remember we told you a score was 20 years? 80 would be 80 years. Chapter 16 ends with Abram being 86 years of age, an old guy. But chapter 17, verse number 1 picks up, and how old is Abraham now? He's 99 years old. And when he was 99 years old, God appeared unto Abram and said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Where did those 13 years go to? Ishmael is born at the end of chapter 16. 13 years pass by, and Abraham is now 99. I believe Isaac is born when he is 100. I've got to double check that. So as we get into the 17th chapter, Ishmael is 13 years old. He's a teenage boy. And Isaac hasn't even been born yet. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but in the ending of this chapter, Abraham is still concerned with his son Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God says, I have that which I'm going to do with Ishmael. He's going to be blessed, don't you worry. But he's not the promised one. He's not the one that I have my covenant with you. That's going to be Isaac. But it is commonly said and commonly believed that there is no record of God speaking to Abraham for these 13 years because quite possibly he was outside of fellowship with God. Somebody once that I read once spoke about the silence of God's discipline. The silence of God's discipline. Many times in Scripture and many times you and I experience in life times when God goes silent. He's not saying anything. He's not speaking. He's not leading us. We wonder where he is. It may just be because God is disciplining us with that silence. 86 years of age when chapter 16 ends. 99 years of age when chapter 17 begins. And what did he do in that 16th chapter? His house got all messed up and his house got out of order. He listened to his wife. He went and he slept with her handmaid. He brought forth a child named Ishmael. All of this was not according to God's will. All of this was not according to their prayer and their seeking God. All of this was as a result of their thinking God needed help. And I'm not going to rehash, but you see all the sins Abraham was guilty of when chapter 16 comes to a close and God goes silent and nothing is said for 13 years. He was 75 years of age when he left Haran, 86 years of age when Ishmael was born, 99 years of age when this chapter begins. And still no Isaac. You know, many times when God goes silent, we wonder where he is and we're not hearing from him. It could be God's discipline of silence. See, there's a dangerous thing about going through times where God is silent with us. Here's the danger. When we're not hearing from God, we have the tendency to hear from ourselves. And come up with our own ideas and our own thoughts. And it gets real confusing. When we're not hearing from God, we're hearing from ourselves. When we're hearing from ourselves, there is a tendency to say, that's God. And it doesn't work that way. And this is so complicated, I've got to rush on. For 13 years, God was silent. As a result, most likely, of the sins that Abraham was guilty of in this 16th chapter. God went silent and let 13 years pass by before he appeared before Abraham again and spoke unto Abram, and Abram listened and fell on his face before God. When you're not hearing from God, be patient. Let that discipline run its course. Don't rush to hear from God so much that you just hear from yourself. Because when you're not hearing from God and you start to hear from yourself, you're going to hear from yourself as though it's God. And everyone here, I can venture to say, in this room today has made that mistake. The Lord led me. I believe it's God's will. Are you really hearing from God? Or has God gone silent? And in the absence of hearing from God, are you hearing from yourself and saying it's God? Don't flatter yourself. Let me not flatter myself. Let us be patient and wait to hear from God when the discipline has run its course. I am the Almighty. Abraham had to go through those 13 years. He had to go through those 99 years to where he would really, I'm not saying he didn't have faith, and don't misunderstand me at all. We know he was a man of faith. He was justified by faith. Chapter 15, verse 6, it tells us, I believe, that he was justified by his faith. He was justified because he believed God. But now he comes to where he's 99 years of age, and probably more than it has ever hit him before, I'm dead. I'm not going to have any children. Sarah is what? 89? I think it's 10 years before. So you can kind of begin to say when it all began and Abram was 75 and Sarah was 65, okay, I guess they could have a child, and if we consider them middle-aged, considering what the lifespan of the average person was. But now, 25 years have gone by. Abraham's going on 100. Sarah is 86 years of age. And more than ever before, he sees himself as dead. He sees Sarah as dead. He sees them as beyond the point of being able to conceive children. That's just not rational. That's just not reasonable. That's silly. In fact, we find Abraham laughing in this chapter at the thought of that. Not laughing in disbelief like Sarah has laughed or will laugh, but he laughed because it sounded funny. Now, who among you today doesn't find it humorous to think about a 99-year-old man and an 89-year-old woman having a child? We would laugh, not because we doubt it, but we'd laugh, that just sounds funny. We just can't imagine somebody who's almost beyond the stage of being great grandparents being parents. But more than ever before, he needed to see God as the Almighty. He needed to see him as omnipotent, and he needed to see himself as dead. He needed to come to the place where I believe the angel speaking to Mary said something to the effect, nothing is impossible with God. That's where Abraham had to come to here. Seeing him as the omnipotent, seeing himself as dead in the flesh, and Sarah beyond the reasonable age of bearing children, he had to see that Almighty God is the only one who could do this. With God, nothing is impossible. And I know I touched on this, and I preached at the conference up in Michigan back in the spring, from lessons we learned from Noah. But I want us to consider this thought. God appears to Abram, changes his name to Abraham, to remind Abram who he was, how dead Abraham was and incapable of having children on himself. God brought Abram to the place where he saw him as omnipotent, and if this covenant was going to be responded, God and God alone was going to do it. God and God alone was going to do it. God came to Abram to remind him, I'm not finished with you yet. I look out over this sanctuary and I can see some old people. I saw that this morning when I looked in the mirror. But I can see some folks here today who have a decade or more on me. Maybe more than that. And I believe God wants Abraham to be reminded here that he was the Almighty One. And he wanted Abraham to know, I'm not done with you. Oh, my dear brother and sister in Christ, no matter how old you are, as we learned with Noah, let us learn from Abram. You're here, you're alive, God is not done with you yet. Don't become a do-nothing. Don't become somebody who sits on the sidelines and because of age dismisses yourself from being used of God. I ask you the question, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who are older than me. What does God want you to accomplish for him? Wow, I'm X amount of years old. Abraham was 99. And he was still going to be a daddy. Sarah was 89 at least. She was still going to give birth to Isaac. If I remember right, Abraham lived to be 175 years old. He's got 100 years on most everybody here. And what does God want us to accomplish for him? Do it. Do it. Brother Andy talked about it may not be flashy, it may not be fancy, it may just be to sit on the church pew and listen. That's a great thing with God. And if that's all you think you can do, then do it the best you can. God did not quit on Abraham because of his age, and God didn't want Abraham to quit on him. God isn't quitting on people just because of their age, and God would have us not quit on him. What does God want you to accomplish for him? Then do it. What little corner of the world can you lighten? What little deed can you do? God isn't calling anybody to turn the world upside down. God is saying, I'm the only one who can turn the world upside down, but I can use you in some small way to do that. What would God have you to do, my dear senior citizen? We'll stop there, pick up this chapter next week. Let's stand.